Welcome to the Virginia Athletics Podcast, which we record every week here in the John Paul Jones Arena Production Studio. I'm Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com. My guest today is Jocelyn Willoughby, who's having another sensational season for the UVA women's basketball team. Jocelyn, second time on the show. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So it seems like only yesterday you were a first year getting ready to play your first college game. Now it's February 2020. You have four regular season games left at JPJ.
Yeah.
Has it dawned on you that you are now in the twilight of your college basketball career?
I mean, I haven't been counting the exact number of days, so you saying four home games left is a little bit of
a shock.
Scary. Yeah, a little bit of a shock. But, you know, I've realized definitely that my college career is coming closer and closer to an end. And so that part has started to sink in, and just as I said from the start of this season, when you're a fourth year, and you know, I've seen other fourth years go before me and had great leadership, but didn't quite understand their unique perspective and their experience as a fourth year. I think the closest probably getting to that would be Brianna Mason, mm-hmm. Who's now on staff, and just for her to be the sole fourth year on the team. And coming in as a first year, not having made the tournament, and just kind of like the drive that she had and wanting to make it the best season possible, and then go to the next year with Aaliyah, Lauren, and just that group. You know, just you can see the drive that fourth years have. And so for me, I'm like, okay, I kind of saw it but didn't really get it. And now that I'm in this position, it's real, and it's just a very unique perspective as you're looking at the time winding down and saying, okay, I came into UVA with all these goals in mind, and you have a very limited time to make it reality. And so, you know, when you're first year, second year, you're like, oh, there's another year. You don't bank on that, of course, but you realize that there's more time, and now that this is it, it's definitely very unique.
Do you, like when you're in Chapel Hill last week, does it occur to you, hey, this is the last time I'll play at Carmichael? Yeah, as a college player.
Yeah, I mean, it crosses my mind a little bit, and I've talked to my mom about this, and from the outset of the season, she pretty much said to me, you know, more than anything, just enjoy the season and have fun, because a game is a game, and of course you want to win, but at the end of the day, it's a game.
Right.
And the reality, she said, every game is a last game of sorts. And you don't want to, you know, think back on this game and like, oh, man, live it with regret. And so for me, and I've said to my teammates, this is for UNC. This is the last time I'll be playing UNC at UNC. Or even the game that we had the other day. This is the last time I'll be playing so-and-so here or at all. And so it definitely starts to sink in a little bit more.
You're leading the ACC in scoring, and you're doing that against defenses that are designed, you know, to shut you down.
Mm-hmm.
You're also first on the team in rebounds, and you're tied for first with Lisa in steals. Been happy with your play this season? I mean, on paper, it looks really good, and looks good to the eye, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think overall I'm happy, but I'm never satisfied, and I think that's something I've learned that is different about me. And so I'm always, you know, I'll have a good performance on paper, but I'm always looking and seeing, okay, where are the areas that I can grow? Just never completely satisfied.
You have kept up a breakneck pace throughout your time here at the university, academically and athletically. Have you had time to stop and smell the roses from time to time, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, and there's been so much growth, I think, personally, on the court and off the court, and that is one of the things that I feel like an area I've had to grow in the most, is realizing after I leave this university, it's not going to be just about what I did on the court or what I did in the classroom or how fast I went through it all. It's going to be the things that I was involved in, the people I connected with, and those experiences. And so I'm at a point where, yes, I'm still trying to excel in so many different areas, but to take it in and to appreciate and enjoy all that comes with the experience right now. So that when I, you know, when I look back years later, I'm like, oh man, not, I can't remember it because I went, everything went so fast, but I really enjoyed the moments. I really enjoyed the people. And so, I didn't always have that perspective. I think as a first year, I was just kind of like, go, 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 go. Yeah. And slowly it's like, all right, you can't just keep going, and you have to enjoy it and slow down and smell the roses, as you said.
What do you do in your downtime when you're not studying, you're not preparing for basketball?
Yeah, I definitely, I mean, there's not a lot of downtime, no. But definitely I speak to my parents a lot on the phone, just trying to, you know, make sure staying connected with them and my family, because they are just a huge source of support. I like to cook. And so that's something that brings me joy, just be able to make a nice meal and sit down, whether with my roommates or just by myself. I enjoy reading. And so especially over winter break, now that we're in classes, it's not as fun to read, since I'm not able to pick things on my own. But reading is something I also enjoy, and just, kind of just the little things. I enjoy journaling and listening to music. So things that are relaxing, don't take too much time, but, you know, just allow you to be.
So you graduated last spring after only 3 years at UVA with a bachelor's degree in global studies.
Mm-hmm.
You're now in a master's program in the Batten School.
Yes.
Tell us about that program.
So the program, it's really exciting for me so far. I feel like I've been challenged. So it's a leadership and public policy master's. It's a two-year program. And one of the things that is special about it, I think, is how much they emphasize group work. And so we move through classes and cohorts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something unique. I think in undergrad, I've definitely been more individualistic in my studying and experience, whereas now it's like, no, we have study groups and we rely on one another. We have group projects, which I think is more realistic of the real world when you're working on policy issues that require multiple perspectives and viewpoints. It's been very energizing, I think, to see the wide range of perspectives that come into the program and backgrounds. I mean, you have people who have served in the military for quite some time, who have families. You have other students who are accelerated, who are in their fourth year, but beginning their master's this year. And so just between their backgrounds, but the interest that they come to the program with, right, whether it's education, criminal justice, foreign policy, national security, it's inspiring, honestly. And I'm still trying to figure out, you know, what my niche is going to be, but to hear from them and learn from them and with them has been really cool so far.
With your basketball obligations, which include practice and training and then games,
mm-hmm,
is it challenging to do the group work, to make that work?
It is challenging, but I would say I felt so well supported by my classmates and professors. I mean, even our dean, I invited him to be the guest coach at one of our games, and he came and he had a great time. And then I don't know what game it was, but looked in the stands really quickly and I saw him and his son, and I hadn't invited him to this game, but, you know, so I just think professors and faculty and students, my classmates, they come to games and they'll show me videos that they took at the game the next day, and they are very great at empathizing and saying, like, man, I don't know how you do it, the travel, the practice, but also saying, like, hey, if you have any questions, like, you know, reach out to me. Don't hesitate. Or if you need a lecture or notes. So it is challenging, but it's always manageable and even more rewarding when you have people who, I'm not going to say just admire you, but are there to support you in your endeavors.
You will have opportunities to play professionally after this season. Mm-hmm. You're in a two-year program. How do you juggle, how do you go about completing your master's and also pursuing a professional career? Do you just put Batten School on hold till you're done playing, or can you do them both?
Yeah, I mean, I've begun those conversations. Batten is a small school, so they're not as flexible in being able to continue the courses remotely, at least at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning those conversations to say, okay, what would it look like if I stepped away for a little bit and returned in a few years to complete the degree? So there's still some details that have to be sorted out with that. But again, I've been very fortunate and thankful for the amount of support and encouragement that I've received And I mean, even talking to the dean, he's like, yeah, you know, you should go and pursue that opportunity to play professionally. And so, yeah, I think there are details to be ironed out, but it's looking promising so far.
You are in a small group of UVA students who lived on the lawn as a third year. What's that experience like for you? What was it like for you? You mentioned that you have roommates, plural. So after living alone for a year on the lawn, you're back in a more traditional living arrangement this year?
Yeah, no, I am. And that was one of the weird things, I think, when I first moved off the lawn into an apartment this summer. I was like, wow, you know, you take the little things for granted, just being able to, like, get up and go down the hall and go to the bathroom instead of having to go outside, or to be able, again, as I said, I like cooking, so to be able to cook my own meals, it wasn't something I was able to do in the lawn rooms. But to be able to live in the lawn, and I think there's so many things where I feel like we take for granted in the moment. But now when, you know, I'm walking to class and I walk past the lawn, and part of me, it's a little sad because I'm like, oh, these people just replaced me, even though they're special in their own right. But it really is a special place. And to think, like, you walk outside your room and there to the left you have the rotunda, or it's such a social place. I mean, the weather has been beautiful these past few days, which is a little scary at this point in the year.
Yeah,
but, I mean,
February.
To see people just sitting out and enjoying each other's company and maybe reading or doing whatever, to be in that space, you know, it's a unique opportunity. And would I do it again? Probably not. But I definitely enjoyed the time. And I think more than anything, the community. I've made some really good friends as a result of living on the lawn. So.
You are a fellow this year in the Meriwether Lewis Institute for Citizen Leadership. I think I got that right. What does that entail?
So right
and
now...
And that's a UVA program, right?
Yes, it's a UVA program. We abbreviate it MLI, so to help you out a little bit.
There you go.
But so the program is, you know, 25 second-year students are chosen to be in this leadership fellowship. And so I think I've told you before, we work on a program or an issue that the university assigns and try to help solve that for them and pitch ideas. But that primarily happens in the summer leading into your third year, so after your second year is completed. And so now... from that experience, you kind of learn how the university operates. You learn about yourself as a leader, kind of just different things that are supposed to help you in your leadership, your particular leadership experience or field, because we are leaders in our different rights or in different aspects of the university. And so right now what that looks like is every student in the program has a meaningful engagement project. Mm-hmm. So one area that they just want to devote their time, the rest of their time at the university, to improving. And, I mean, mine
what's yours?
The women's basketball team, and just helping the program reach a different level. And, I mean, but everyone has something different or unique to them. And so that's really what I'm devoting, clearly, my energies and efforts to.
You are also a student-athlete member of the NCAA Division I Women's Basketball Oversight Committee.
Yes.
How often does that group meet? What is your role on that? I mean, you're a student-athlete member.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the group meets, I'd say, at least 4 times in person a year. And then they have monthly teleconference calls that either overlap with the in-person meetings or are just separate. And I mean, it's, I think, especially within this past year, having more representation from coaches, because, you know, it's a busy time of year, so coaches aren't always able to make it out to the meetings. Granted, student athletes aren't always able to make it out, but I think the group that's there now, it's been incredibly exciting. The work that they're, I mean, there's so many changes happening in college athletics, but especially in women's basketball. And so it's been really exciting to be a part of that change and discussion. So essentially my role is to provide the student athlete or women's basketball perspective to any legislation or changes in competition, tournament season, the future of women's basketball, and to provide that perspective. And so to hear the different perspectives of administrators, SWAs, coaches, athletic directors, it's, you're bringing all these different parties to the table. And from student athlete, there's so many things that I don't think about on a day-to-day basis. And I think that's the same for them. They don't necessarily consider the details of the student-athlete perspective. So to have that conversation and, in a sense, to influence where the sport goes next, it's been really powerful.
I guess technically you're a non-voting member, but do you feel like your opinion is valued by the rest of the committee?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a non-voting member, but I think that sometimes I'm called to weigh in on a topic, mm-hmm. and sometimes I'm like, well, here's my opinion anyway, even if you didn't ask for it. And I think they do take anything I say into consideration. And, you know, I try and be thoughtful and do my due diligence. And so I think they appreciate that greatly. But I also just appreciate learning from them and the feedback and conversation.
One of your predecessors here, Monica Wright, mm-hmm. came back to UVA last summer and joined Tina Thompson's staff as an assistant coach.
Right.
Had you met Monica before then? And what's it been like getting to know her better?
Monica had come back a few times prior to, and so I've had a chance to meet her, but never really have like in-depth conversation. It was always kind of like a pass by, like, mm-hmm. oh, okay, we know who you are. You're Monica, right? Like your pictures hanging hanging everywhere. But I think to have her back on staff has been great. I mean, when she was hired, I was excited just because she's a younger coach. Mm-hmm. So that's someone that the players can relate to. She obviously is a legend here at the university, went on to play professionally. So just to be able to, you know, have that role model on staff. Obviously, we have others on staff as well, but right. someone closer in age who's a little bit closer to the process and experience has been really great. And so having her, she's been able to speak into my life some and obviously coach me, help me. You know, she's a person who's willing to do extra. You know, she'll be rebounding, you know, be like, hey, do you want to come in and get extra shots? Whatever.
Right.
She's there to serve. And I really appreciate that about her. And she's like, anything you need from me, girls, like, you know, let me know. But she's just very warm and welcoming. And so we've enjoyed having her here on staff.
The personality of a team changes from year to year because personnel changes, coaches change.
Mm-hmm.
This UVA team, your fourth one, is dominated by an unusual mix of fourth years and first years with, you know, a few second and third years sprinkled in between.
Yeah.
I know you were asked about it before, kind of on the eve of the season, what that would be like now that we're two-thirds of the way through the season or something like that. What's it been like? What's that dynamic been like?
You know, going into the season, as you said, every year is different, and you don't quite know what it's going to bring. I knew this year was going to be challenged because of our youth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that definitely came to fruition in some ways. I think one of the hardest things is that you can't force growth. And it just has to be natural, and it happens on its own timing and mm-hmm. pace. With a team like this year, and being a fourth year, it's like, okay, even though we're young, we need you to grow. We need you to grow quickly.
Yep.
And as a fourth year and as a leader and captain of this team, it's been challenging to figure out, okay, how do you stimulate growth? You know, you need to challenge because that's the only way people really grow. So how do you be tough and challenging and demanding and get some of that growth without breaking?
Mm-hmm.
When you're first year and it's like, okay, you need to instill confidence, but you also need to instill discipline.
Right.
Where's the balance between that? So there's so many trade-offs that I feel like you have to juggle. And I think that's shown some in our games. But I think that, again, we're growing. And I think now I have the mindset of it's not about being a finished product and, you know, you're going to keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
And so my goal is at this point to leave this program in a way that you can see growth and promise that can continue, that can be sustainable, rather than, all right, we need you to grow now and be finished for this year so that we can achieve everything this year. I think that's thinking back on reflecting on my initial outlook, I think that's a little bit unrealistic. And so it's been a little bit of tempering expectations, but also being demanding. And I think that's something I struggle with individually. But, you know, how do I be realistic but demanding and ambitious? And I think that's something that our team is facing right now.
You came in with Felicia, Nikki, and Lisa in 2016. You played two full seasons with Fee, you know, before her medical condition ended her playing career. That was obviously a devastating setback for her. She's talked a little bit about that publicly.
Right.
What do you say to a friend, a classmate, a teammate who's going through something like that?
I mean, that's really tough. I think giving them space to cope and come to terms with the situation is important. That was tough because it's something that you don't expect.
Right.
And for me, for a while, I was like, I don't really know what to say. I mean, I don't really know what our relationship can be like or is going to be like. You know, we bonded over basketball and, you know, a tough practice or, you know, just some of the crazy things, the shared experience. And when that's different, it's like, okay, how do I adapt?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think part of it initially is there's not much you can say. But I think over time it's been a checking in. Okay, how are things going? Is there anything
and
I can help you with?
She's still around the program.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I appreciate so much because I think it can be hard when you see things taken away from you, but you still manage to stay in the program. And I think Fee's incredibly strong in her being able to adapt to such a drastic change. But I would say I've enjoyed having her around this year, even though it's not the same, you know, going through warm-ups and I look at Fear, you know, the starting lineup, and I'm like, man, it's, you know, we used to dance with each other or I'd hype her up and those little things I miss so much, but she's still a voice on the team and she's still a leader and being able to give some of her observations or some of her encouragement and some of her just pure humor to maintain who she is has been so important for me to see. And so I'm proud of her and I love her so much.
She had really started, she was starting to come into her own as a post player and a player in general. You know, I know things happen in sports, but do you ever think about kind of where the program might be had you had a healthy Fee for the past two seasons? Because obviously, post play has been an issue, and she's 6'9" and was really becoming a good player.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no doubt she would have made a difference.
Yeah.
But for me, it's not a thought that I linger on too much because I'll say two things. One, we had to go majority of the season without her, and so we had to adapt even before we knew what the severity of her condition was. But I also think, I said to myself recently, you know, don't live in the world of hypotheticals, wondering what if.
Right.
But instead of that, focus on what is and what you can do about it. And I think for Fee, yes, it was hard for the team, but you can't change it. And so it doesn't do us any good to say, oh, man, Fee.
Right.
And I don't think it does her any good because I'm sure she wishes she would be on the court with us, as we all do. But I just appreciate her still being supportive and still being a part of the team, finding a different role. Because I think on any team, anybody has a role that they can step into. And it doesn't look the same
right
from year to year, from day to day even.
The annual Play for K game was this past Sunday at JPJ. You and your teammates wore pink uniforms to raise awareness for the fight against cancer in women. Is that a special game for the players, you know, especially considering how cancer has touched the Syracuse program?
Yeah.
And that was your opponent Sunday.
Yeah, I think prior to this season, I kind of said to myself, or I think even some of my teammates, you know, whoever plays Syracuse, not knowing it's going to be us, whoever plays Syracuse on Pink Day is going to have a tough challenge.
Yeah.
Because in many ways, I think it's an emotional game. Granted, I didn't know Tiana was going to be traveling this past Sunday, but to see her and just, you know, as a team, her win her fight or continue the fight, it's an emotional thing. But as a player, you have to temper those emotions, and at the end of the day, it's still a game. And I just appreciate the conference and players and coaches right. for using the platform to raise awareness and to support women through all the things that they're going through.
You are one of the leaders of the team on the court. You know, off the court, you're in an academic program that studies leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Among the athletic directors in Division I, very few are African-American women. That's one of the many ways Carla Williams stands out in her profession. Have you been able to spend much time with Carla since she's been here?
I wouldn't say I spend a lot of time with her, but, I mean, I do admire her in so many ways, and I think she's done tremendous things for this university and athletic department so far. And, I mean, I'm excited for the trajectory and right. the direction that it's going into. I will say that is one thing that the oversight committee that I serve on is being more intentional about, is thinking about diversity and professional development in the game of women's basketball. And how important it is for women like myself, a woman of color, to be able to see excellence in some of not only coaching positions, but also administrative positions. And I think Mrs. Williams does a great job embodying that and showing, you know, what is possible. Granted, I don't necessarily want to stay in athletics, so, you know, I wouldn't necessarily want to be in her position exactly, although some people have suggested that I should consider that.
Yeah.
But I think having her here in the athletics department has meant a lot. But I think aside from her just being a woman of color, she's somebody who is excellent in her profession.
Right.
And I think that's something to highlight more than anything.
Well, we're here at JPJ. You play here on Thursday night against Clemson.
Yeah. That will make, what, three home games after that.
So good luck starting that stretch Thursday. Thanks again for joining me. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
If this is not the busiest time of year for UVA athletics, it's close. Most of our spring teams start competition this weekend, and our winter teams, like women's basketball, are getting ever closer to postseason. For information on all these programs, including our fall sports, visit virginiasports.com. I'll be back next week with another podcast. Until then, thanks for listening, and go Hoos.